Proverbs 22 in your Bibles, Proverbs 22. We'll read a few verses together and pray. I'm glad you're here tonight and here to hear the Word of God, because you will be responsible for what you hear as God's people and the church that you belong to and the future of it and the future of your family and decisions you make as a child of God. And so this is one of those kinds of messages I'm very glad you're here for. Proverbs 22 and verse 24 says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them that are sureties for debts. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee?" It's a great text about debt, of course. Our text is verse 28. "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." Father, thank you for your word tonight. And I just ask, Lord, as we consider and ponder and think about and receive these thoughts from your word, that you'll help our thinking to be corrected when it's not, where it's not. And where we are thinking correctly, Father, may we have affirmation of it so that we do not waver from your word or your will. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 28, again, you'll notice it's a very familiar reference. And you may also know that it is a quotation, a reference to an Old Testament law, one that is given in Deuteronomy. The first time it's mentioned is Deuteronomy 19, verse 14. And it's verse 28, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." Across the page, chapter 23, you'll notice verse 10. "Remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless." Now, this again, beloved, is a direct reference to Deuteronomy 19:14, where God sets down this law concerning property and the inheritance of real estate. And what did this law require? It said, and I'm going to quote Deuteronomy now, "Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance." In other words, God is forbidding the practice of changing somebody's property lines, because that would break three of the Ten Commandments. "Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, and thou shalt not covet." Verse 28 again, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." Now, inasmuch as this one law is repeated six times in the Word of God as a command, there is one instance where in the Bible where the law is held up as an illustration. It's a metaphor of an even greater law. And that instance is a reference in the book of Hosea, where the prophet says that Judah's princes, these are the leaders, Judah's princes, had made decisions that were, quote, "like those who remove the ancient landmark." In other words, Hosea took this law, the Holy Spirit inspired him to take the law. He looked at it and through the eyes of the condition of Judah. And then he used it as an illustration of what was wrong in that land. And so it is tonight as we enter the fall season, where in the fall, autumn, we are reminded of the change that occurs with the passing of time. They're changing leaves, changing temperatures, changing days, daylight savings ends on November 3rd, and so forth. With all the changes that come this time of year, I just want us to consider, as Hosea did, the dangers of removing the ancient landmarks, of changing just for the sake of change. I want to remind you that when someone says, well, this church or this denomination or this mission board, they changed their position, actually, change is a position. If you're the kind of person, the Bible says, be not like this person. If you're the kind of person who's given to change and just changing for the sake of it, it's very unwise. You see, there are some things that God considers established and therefore unchangeable and unnegotiable. There are, as Hosea was stating, there are also spiritual landmarks that should really never be moved by anyone. John Gresham Machen was a professor of New Testament at Princeton in the 1920s. Now, hard to imagine, but he actually led a revolt at Princeton against what was then called the modernist theology, and now that theology, if you want to call it that, dominates Princeton. And he wasn't a Baptist, but he was a very courageous defender of the fundamentals of the faith that we all hold dear. And I remember years ago reading a couple books about Machen, and something that he wrote in particular I never forgot. Now, this man was born in 1881. He died in 1937 of pneumonia when he was preaching out in the Dakotas, and he was only 55 years of age. But he lived just long enough to observe drastic changes in both his denomination and the nation at large. And here's what he wrote that I read and have never forgotten. He said these words: America is coasting downhill on a godly ancestry. In 1930, it's a long time ago, he said America is coasting downhill on a godly ancestry. In other words, what he meant was, because of landmarks that his fathers, the fathers, had established, because of godly markers outlining spiritual territory, generations that inherited that territory got to enjoy its fruit while neglecting and destroying the vineyard. And of course, Princeton itself is Exhibit A of that, or was. Princeton founded in 1746 as a Bible college. Its only mandate when it was founded was to train Bible-believing preachers. The motto was De sub numine vige, which means under God's power she flourishes. That motto is still there. You think anybody reads it? It's in Latin, of course. Princeton. I mean, today the motto would be Yabba Dabba Do Elysium or something. It would be rainbows for environmental justice for the goddess Mother Earth or some such thing. Have you ever noticed that liberals never build anything? They just take over and destroy things. They never actually build it. And they destroy things by taking established property lines, proven borders, and moving them. Just moving them ever so slowly. Hospitals, universities, mission boards, churches, even nations themselves. These are things that were built by people who believe in truth, who believe and believed in this book and right and wrong, and those things are slowly destroyed by people who never really build anything. How many young preachers go out and instead of building a shallow, feel-good church, instead, they go to a solid church, and very slowly over time, they turn that into a shallow, feel-good church. They don't build one. They just destroy one. Many years ago, when we first started to fill up the old auditorium on Center Street with the Sunday morning crowd, we were thinking about, what are we going to do? And some of you have seen the reconstruction they're doing over there, and they're completely working on it, which I'm glad to see, to be honest with you. But we were wondering what we're going to do. This auditorium would seat about 89, 90 people. And so someone suggested we have a survey company come out, do a very detailed survey of the church's property just to see what we actually owned. The deed to that property is 90 years old, and of course, a lot of changes can occur during that time, and sure enough. When we got the survey back, it told us several things that we didn't know. Some of you old-timers in here may remember that one of the things we discovered is that the western property, which is that parking lot, the empty lot now, was actually divided into two different parcels. It was the bigger lot that was obvious and a 10-foot strip, for whatever reason, on the very western end. Number two, we found out that that parcel, which is the parking lot to this day, actually extended all the way out past the middle of Center Street. And when we found that out, John Morris suggested that we install a toll booth to pay for the new building. That's John. Number three, we found out that the alley behind the church, at that time it was a little dirt road, that entire alley was actually on our property, which we didn't know. And I remember the day the survey, seeing the marker out there on the south side of that alley, so that for many, many decades, People assumed they were driving on an easement or maybe their own residential property for the guys behind us. And actually, they were always driving on the church's property built in 1924. And so it is with the passing of time, right? Changes occur with boundaries and property lines that go unnoticed and unchallenged. And that is precisely why in the Old Testament, God gave the Israelites this law regarding landmarks and boundaries. Landmarks, by the way, that God referred to as old and ancient long before they were ancient. Do you ever think about that? That law is given in the book of Deuteronomy. All the families had even had their own land for more than a generation. Some had just gotten it, but he still calls it ancient. You know why? Because the danger of moving someone's landmark is greatest and most effective with the passing of time. God wasn't as concerned that they were going to move it first year, second year, third year. He didn't say, don't remove your brand new landmarks. But he knew that when they were ancient. In other words, the fact that these landmarks were ancient is also why they were good, for one thing. You know, look, I know last Sunday night I think I was talking about how people, oh, the hymns are old. The Bible's, the version's old. The King James is old. These and those are old. And I mentioned that water's old. It's pretty good stuff. Air's old. But you know what's ancient? The United States Constitution is ancient. Twitter is new. So why would LeBron choose Twitter over the Bill of Rights? Unless you just don't understand. Ancient is good, but it's also vulnerable. Remember what the Bible says over there in Exodus 1:8, there arose a new king which knew not Joseph. They arose a new king which knew not George Washington. Now, let's illustrate it, okay? This is going to be my first landmark. And again, the landmark, we'll put it right here at the rail. A landmark is set to show you the borders. Now, not only were you told to set your landmark, so this is my property right here that I inherited from my great, 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 great grandpa, Jimmy, the original weasel. Not only did you set your borders, but your neighbor would also set his landmark or his border. And in the Old Testament, when someone inherited or was given this kind of property, they would mark it not with a music stand, but they would mark it with either a very, very large stone or a pile of stones, usually beginning in the ground and up. And this is the landmark that is spoken of in Deuteronomy and the landmark spoken of in our text. You are marking your land and those landmarks dotted. They dotted the entire landscape of ancient Israel. And again, they did so for centuries and centuries. And what would happen is that some dishonest person and God, knowing that this would happen, that's what I love about the law. You see, remember when God told them to build those parapets around their houses because they were living in tents for so long? And he says, when you get to the land, you build your houses, make sure you build these parapets around it so that your little babies don't fall off. That's an amazing thing. God knew way ahead of time, he put in the law before they built their houses because they were used to living in tents and they would be careless about it. And so it is with this law. He knew that some dishonest person would come along and move his and his neighbor's landmark. And here's how he got away with it. He would move it just a little bit. He'd go out in the field, look around, just a little bit of time. Just a little bit here, a little bit there. That neighbor would do it here. Or this neighbor, this guy, he would move his neighbor's a little bit and his a little bit. And then another year would go by, his neighbor's a little bit. His a little bit. And because it was gradual, and sometimes these landmarks were up on a hillside or down in the trees covered over with brush, and by just moving it perhaps a few feet per year, nobody would notice the changes that have taken place. If you've ever seen an old photo of the Florida coastline, you know how much has changed, albeit gradually through the years. And that brings us to this text and some thoughts that I want us to all have together. Because the application of God's man Hosea, who said that there are spiritual landmarks that the princes, it usually starts from the top. He said that he used princes, the leaders of Judah gradually moved. And of course, they didn't move them in the landscape so much, they moved them in their hearts. In their hearts. And you know, beloved, that's what Satan wants to do with us. That's what he wants to do with every believer and every good, solid, Bible-believing church. He wants you and he wants me to slowly and gradually move the ancient landmarks that our fathers have set. Now, look, you say, Pastor, I heard a preacher say the other day, he hasn't changed one bit in 40 years. That's not true of me. I hope I've changed. I mean, 40 years ago, the way I preached, some of the things I said, I've actually told Brother Gary, burn some of those tapes. Amen, Brother Gary, get rid of them. We ought to change in the sense that we grow, adding to your faith, right? I hope I've changed to be more like Christ. I'm not talking about the fact that just that spiritual change and spiritual growth and changes in your, I mean, we change locations from there to here. That's stubborn, ridiculous kind of resisting of change. We're talking about landmarks that the Father, that the Heavenly Father, because of this Father, our fathers have set. And the reason why it's so dangerous to move the ancient landmarks that the Father has set or to allow anyone else to move the landmark is threefold. Number one, because of territory that you've lost. Number two, because of territory that you've gained. And number three, because of territory that is obscured. Now let me explain what we mean. The main reason why the ancients would set their landmarks was to show them and remind them of their own limitations and their own boundaries. This is yours. Remember what was mine? That's yours. They revealed what belonged to them and their tribe. And it was an important thing. It was an inheritance. It was everything to them. It was codified in the law of Moses. It was one of the reasons why, remember, Ahab spied Naboth's vineyard and he wanted that vineyard. And here's some money for it. But Naboth, he wasn't being stubborn. He said, no, I can't. This is a spiritual inheritance. This is something that I pass on to my children. He wouldn't compromise. To lose territory, however gradually, is one of the reasons for the problems in the Middle East even today. And so here's what Hosea says. He says to God's people that that's what's happening spiritually. That some of the territory that is part of God's heritage is being lost. And it's being lost by those who have moved, changed the landmark. And I want to say, beloved, the exact same thing has always happened spiritually as it happened in the days of Hosea, and it's happening today. We have a situation with churches, Christians in this country, where very few believers truly hold and believe with conviction that they actually have a copy of the Word of God. Now, they used to believe that they did, or their forefathers believed that they did. But now, after generations of moving and moving and moving, they believe that it doesn't matter, that any of the 342 translations out there they're all good enough, because not one of them is better than any other one of them. Not one of them is preserved by God. And what are the consequences? What's the result? Well, it's losing territory. Losing the conviction that man must live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Look, I teach your young people. And I've been teaching the young people here at Beacon Baptist Church for 32 years. This is the 33rd year. And I taught young people for 4 years in Knoxville, Tennessee, at the Knoxville Baptist Tabernacle, Brother Bob Bevington, I worked for him. And 2 years in Port Huron, Michigan, young people. And if there's anything I can guarantee you that's happening, that has been happening with each generation, is that the young people less and less believe that we have in our hands, with conviction, the revealed Word of God. It has slowly, and it's just not that important. And I mean, there are people, some in this room, perhaps tonight, right now, I did this in Sunday school a few weeks ago, losing verses, passages, doctrines even, would have never been questioned by men of old, some of the greatest Christians and soul winners in history. Because you know what? You know, if Satan had tried to move the landmark on the Bible, on Scripture, to where it is now, if he had tried to do that 150 years ago, he wouldn't have gotten very far. Nobody 150 years ago would have accepted this Bible of the Month Club. Publishing houses have determined what believers think about the Bible. What's the latest? What's the newest? What's the coolest? What's the easiest? What's the this? And it's publishing houses putting out stuff. And what they've done through the years is make people believe less and less in the authority of the Word of God. Moves a landmark, a little at a time, little distance each year. And now a lot of believers don't even care. There are so many convictions, there are so many doctrines, so many certainties that have been lost today due to the devil moving landmarks. The average Christian has very little of his spiritual heritage and territory when it comes to the Word of God. And I'm telling you tonight, I do not exaggerate when I say that most believers don't really care about this book, the Word of God. People go to church all over this country and they don't even bring a Bible. If the pastor was to stand and say, take your Bibles in turn, they'd be just, I'll just let my pastor turn or whatever. They really don't care. It doesn't matter. It's not important. It's completely surrendered territory. They are shockingly glib when it comes to the Word of God. Somebody moved the ancient landmark and nobody seemed to notice and nobody seemed to care. And it's the reason why there are so many believers who struggle with sin, spend way, way, way more time watching talk shows than they would ever do reading the Scriptures when it was the other way around. Too many believers have far more appreciation for some phony's revelation or some fancy little book about what they saw or envisioned than they do for God's absolute revelation. And that's because of territory lost. Because in the hearts of men and women, they move the ancient landmark. And the first danger of tampering with God's boundaries is you are giving up sacred ground. We do not want to give up sacred ground. When somebody argues with me, and I talk to them and I'll say, look, you know what? You have a living Bible in your hand. Can I encourage you? Can I give you a Bible? Can I give you a King James Bible and you use this and you read this? And they said, no, you know what? The living Bible is good. God speaks to me through it. And I said, look, it's not really the Bible. And when I talk to them like that, and when they show and they prove to me that, look, and I said, look, I can give you tapes. I can sit down with you for a few hours. We can go through the history of it. And they're just very glib and they're like, none of that matters. What they really mean is, this doesn't matter. Don't you think that if God is going to have something that is original, Satan is going to have something that is a fake? He does it with everything else. So how can we be glib to say that, well, you know, Barrington, New Orleans, remember him? He used to say, the Bible you need is the Bible you read. In other words, it doesn't matter what Bible you read. Just read it. Just find one and read it. Well, there's a Jehovah's Witness Bible. Does that one count? If someone goes to church these days and the church says to them, you go to them and again, a lot of times you don't even carry a Bible. It's not important. You say, I would like to have a Bible. Oh, here's a ton of them over here. Here's a whole stack of them. And just take the one. This is the attitude. Take the one that fits you. And if it doesn't fit you, fix it to fit you. What ought to happen is you give them the Scripture and you say, this is the Word of God. Let it fix you to fit the Bible. Amen? The Bible's the landmark, not us. This is the Word of God. By the way, can I remind you of how seriously God took the moving of those ancient landmarks? We said that it's territory lost. It's not just territory lost. It's also territory gained. Let me read to you two texts. This is from Deuteronomy 27. Here's what it says. Cursed. All right, just listen. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, Amen. That's the whole verse. In other words, there's a curse for changing, for adding. There's a curse for moving. Let me read you another text. This one's from Revelation 22. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. God takes it seriously when you add to his word. There's a curse there too. God takes it seriously when you take away from his word. When you move an ancient landmark, not only is it territory lost, it is also, you'll notice, territory that is gained. Well, Pastor, what's wrong with territory gained? It's simple. You know, there are some things that God never intended for his people to have. Those landmarks weren't there just to show us what we have, but also what we shouldn't have. In other words, the danger of moving ancient landmarks is that God's people will lose their own divine inheritance. This is it, of separation. This is where God wants me to be. And gaining territory that God doesn't want us to have puts us in a place where he doesn't want us, never intended for us to be. That's the definition of sin in 1 John, when he says that sin is the transgressing of the law. What's it mean? It means here's a boundary, God puts it, and sin is going farther than that boundary. Can I just say again that the changes that have taken place with regard to biblical separation did not occur overnight? It couldn't. Nobody would have accepted such a drastic move of God's landmark regarding a Christian's language. Young people today, and I'm talking about some of our young people, think nothing about taking God's name in vain. Think nothing about using swear words. These kinds of changes with language and dress and music and entertainment during worship, you know, and I know, that all of that had to occur slowly and gradually. And it's moving his standard. I was talking with a man about his teenage son some years ago, so you won't know, he's not a teenager anymore. And he said to me, you know, Pastor, I never expected to see my 15-year-old son come home from the party stone drunk. And he saw the shock on my face, because, I mean, these are church-going folk. And then he said, he saw the shock, and he goes, oh, no, it was not that big a deal, Pastor. He said, because my boy at least had enough sense to get a safe ride home. And he said that, and I thought, wow, have we moved the standard so far? Is the bar so low now for Christian parents and added so much territory that doesn't belong to us that some parents today think what they think is a victory for their child was considered a defeat for their fathers? When landmarks are moved so far over time, low standards are considered high standards. Territory that's added. You'll notice that this landmark is now located in territory that it once excluded, right? In other words, the standard, the boundary, is now in somebody else's territory. And I just say, in a large part, it's in Satan's territory. And so it's no wonder God says, remove not the ancient landmarks, which thy fathers have set. You know why? Losing territory, gaining territory, but also, and obviously, because of obscuring territory. The first one had to do with Scripture. The second one has to do with separation. And the third one has to do with salvation. You see, here's what's happened. God, from eternity past, set down a landmark with regard to redemption. Man, the salvation of his soul. God gave to man this unchangeable solution to the problem of sin and the salvation of man's soul. And the Lord Jesus declared in Revelation 22 that nobody is to change or tamper with that landmark without divine judgment. And the reason is, once you move the landmark of God's, let's say, salvation, you obscure the lines that used to be crystal clear. Where exactly was this landmark? It was here. Was it here? Was it here? Was it here? Was it there? Nobody knows, right? Just put it somewhere around there, Pastor. It's not that important, so long as people love Jesus and believe. No, not so long as people love Jesus and believe. That's not salvation. You know what real, true doctrine of salvation is. It's in this book, and it's being obscured today. Everybody's saved today because they just love Jesus, or they have a title Christian. But Jesus said you have to be born again. That's a new birth. I'm not talking about a cure for cancer, winning a lottery number. We're talking about heaven and hell. It's the most important thing in the world. The truth of the gospel is vital. And that's why, you know, those who came before me called this church Beacon Baptist Church. Beacon is a landmark. Beacon, a lighthouse that if you move that landmark, you destroy the ships out at sea. Maybe somebody here is not saved. You've never accepted Christ. I can tell you this. The only message God wants you to hear about how to get saved is in this book. Nowhere else are you going to get the message of salvation. America is coasting downhill on a godly ancestry. That was a statement that Machen made in 1930. Imagine how long it's been coasting on that godly. I mean, and now it's kind of skidding at the bottom of it. But there's some good news. The good news is America is coasting, enjoying the fruits, but destroying the vineyard. They are coasting downhill on a godly ancestry. America is. But a lot of Christians are not. A lot of believers have the exact same godliness and the same landmarks that the fathers had set. And that's what I want us to be. And that's what I want to be. And that's what I want Beacon Baptist Church to be. And God's people said, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.